us besides us and say to them, welcome in the presence of the Lord. This moment of praise and worship, I found it so great that I have to change a little bit of my program and connect it immediately with the word. So let us welcome the servant that the Lord has sent to us. And we are going to ask him to go on stage. He's going to pray and take on with the word that the Lord has put in his heart.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, and thank you for this morning, oh God. Thank you, Lord, that you are allowing us again to sit under your teaching. And Father, I just want to pray for each and every person who is here, oh God. I pray that, Lord, you prepare our hearts, our ears, oh God, to receive your word, oh God. Heavenly Father, I just want to pray for myself. Take away from me any temptation, oh God, to sound entertaining, oh God. I pray that, Lord, you may use me as your vessel, oh God. Pour out your spirit on me so that, Lord, I may only be a vessel through which your living water will flow over to us again this morning. Speak to us, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Good morning. How are you? Well, it's good to be here. For those who don't know me, my name is Jeremy Ndabo, or Jeremy for my American or Kenyan friends. Yeah, that's how they call me. And it's good to be back. Yeah, I'm an engineer, an IT engineer, but for the past 2 years and a half, I've been working with the Nairobi Chapel in their leadership development program, yeah. And I had the privilege to be among a team of pioneers who went on and planted a church in Karen, in Nairobi. It was one of the greatest privileges of my life, and I bless the Lord for that. And it's been a month since I've come back here, and it's a pleasure for me to share the word of God with you this morning. Amen? Yeah. And I want to start with a word of thank you to Pastor Badesire, as well as the elders for allowing me to be the one preaching to you this morning. I thank them for their trust in my person. I know Pastor Badesire has taken a big risk by asking me to preach, because for the longest, he knew me as the guy behind the computer. Yeah, because I used to work in the media team here, and that's all Pastor Badesire knew about me. So thank you for taking that risk here. All right. So I don't know if there are any fans of movies here. Yeah, because I'm a great fan of movies. And every movie has what is called a theme song. Every movie has a theme song. So a theme song is the music of the movie. This music is inspired by whether the movie is a drama, an action thriller, an animation movie, a comedy, all right? And if, like me, you are among those people who watch the movies until the credits start rolling, I'm sure some of the theme songs are stuck in your mind. When you hear a theme song, you remember the movie from which that song is from. And today I'm going to do a little exercise with us. I'm going to ask the media team to play just extracts of two theme songs from two popular Christian movies. And I'm going to ask someone to guess from which movie those songs are, okay? Are you ready, guys? Yeah, all right, go ahead. Yes, Mohindo. You can stop. Yes, from which movie?
It's from Facing the Giants.
Facing the Giants. Okay, anyone else? Yes. Fireproof, no. Close, you're very close.
I'm not guessing, it's a fact. Courageous.
Courageous, yes. Thank you. All right, let's play another one. I'm sure the answer has already been given. So you were just... Okay, go ahead. You want...
Facing the Giants. Wow.
Thank you. Exactly. So the title of our message today is Theme Song, all right? It's Theme Song. So it came from the overarching idea that each one of us has a theme song for his or her life. The theme song is dictated sometimes by our circumstances. Sometimes we hear many bad news on the radio or on TV. And the general pessimism that so many in our town are dealing with due to the crisis situation in this country. Sometimes the situation in the country can be the theme song of everyone. Since I came back, sometimes I come to someone and ask him, how are you doing? And he tells me, at the rhythm of the country, in French, au rythme du pays. So it's very sad. And that can be the theme song of everyone. Every morning you woke up and you hear some bad news, you hear someone has been killed, and that can be the song that you'll play over and over again in your mind. All right? And this morning, brother and sister, I came to remind us that that's not what our theme song should be as sons and daughters of the living God. I came to remind us that the theme song that we should all listen to as the son and daughter of the Almighty God through Jesus, his son, who bought us with his blood, is the word of God. All right? It's the promises that God has placed into his word. So we are going to read a passage of scripture that I really love. And it's in Isaiah 41, from verse 8 to 10. All right? Isaiah 41, verse 8 to 10. Let's read. I'm reading in the NIV version. But you, Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, you descendant of Abraham, my friend, I took you from the end of the earth, from its farthest corners I called you. I said, you are my servant. I have chosen you. I have chosen you and have not rejected you. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. This is the word of the Lord. Yeah. And a little bit of context here. The children of Israel were captive in Babylon, were in exile in Babylon, when the prophet Isaiah received this word from the Lord. And if you've ever read this chapter from the beginning, you'll understand that the Lord is not telling his people that their years of captivity are coming to an end. No. All right? He's announcing that King Cyrus, the leader of the rising Persian nation, is coming to take over. He will attack and destroy the Babylonian Empire and still keep captive all the people he will find there, including the children of Israel. So these people were in distress. They were in distress. Their theme song was a theme song of exile, of captivity. Amen? And yet, in the middle of this so not optimistic message, God reminded them of a promise that he made to their forefather, a covenant he made with Abraham, father of the nation of Israel and father of our faith. And I'm sure some of you are like, how are these old stories relevant for our lives today? Well, by taking a closer look at this portion of scripture and the story of the Bible in general, we are going to see that this word was not only given to Israel at times of trouble, but is also extended to all of us who are Jesus followers. Amen? So let's start from verse 8. We are going to do a Bible study. Amen? Anyone who loves Bible study? All right, let's do that. All right, so verse 8 says, "But you, Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, you descendant of Abraham, my friend." So the first thing we see here is the assurance that this word were not only written to the people of Israel 1,000 years ago, but are also speaking to us today. If we read Galatians chapter 3, 27 and 29, can we read that? Can you put it on the screen? Galatians chapter 3, 27 and 29, to 29. This is what it's the Lord of the of God says. It says, "There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." 29 says, "If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." So this promise is also extended to us as Jesus followers. That the assurance that we have in this first verse. We have the assurance that we were chosen by God. We are God's chosen one. Can you put the slide there? Yes. We were chosen by God and are heirs of the same promise through Jesus Christ. Amen. We are a chosen generation called for to show his excellence. We were chosen by God. So let's go ahead and read verse 9, which promise the Lord is talking about in this passage. "I took you," verse 9 says, Isaiah 41, 9, "I took you from the end of the earth, from its farthest corners. I called you. I said, you are my servant. I have chosen you and have not rejected you." And one of the greatest theologians of our time, Tim Keller, asked a question. He said, why is the "I" in this promise so important? Because the word said by saying, "I took you," I. Who is the "I" that the text is talking about? And we need to get this right. Because what Tim Keller said is that the source of the promise gives you the value of the promise. The source of the promise gives you the value of the promise. Can you put that up? Yes. The source of the promise gives you the value of a promise. A promise given to you by a man who walks up to you in the street does not hold the same value to you by a promise given by someone like President Obama, for example. They are not the same because the source of the promise gives you the value of the promise. You may be walking in the street maybe one day and someone walks up to you and says, "But you, oh Kanakake, my friend, I have chosen you." You look at that person like, is he dumb? Do I slap him in the face? You know, you won't understand because the source of the promise gives you the value of the promise. And the text says, "I took you from the end of the earth. From its farthest corners, I called you. I said, you are my servant. I have chosen you and have not rejected you." And the "I" here, the "I" in this promise is God. I took a look on the previous chapter, and this is what it said, Isaiah 40, 21, 28. This is what it said. "Do you not know, have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the end of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary." I think it must be 26. "Lift up your eyes and look to the heaven. Who created all this? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls forth each of them by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing." So the word here is talking about God who created the stars in the heaven And he knows each one of them by name. This is what astronomers have discovered. They say that about 5,000 stars were visible in ancient Israel. Today, however, astronomers estimate that there are more than 400 billion stars in the Milky Way, which is our galaxy. And there are 125 billion galaxies in the universe. The total number of stars is estimated to 10 billion trillion. And the word of God says that God knows all of them by name. So when God looks at that image, he calls each one of those dots by name. He looks at that one and says, oh, that's Charles. Oh, that's Fulani. Very interesting. Yeah. How many names are you able to memorize? Can you imagine that? That's how powerful this God is. Amen? Amen. And this is the God who gives us this promise in this word. And verse 10 says, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. So the great theologian and famous preacher, Charles Spurgeon, when he was studying this text, made the following comment. He said, you may come to this particular text like a child to his father on table, and you may draw from it all manners of comfort to sustain your spirit. Can you put that quote up, Charles Spurgeon? I think it's the next slide. Next. Yes. So Charles Spurgeon said, you may come to this particular text as a child to his father on table, and you may draw from it all manners of comfort to sustain your spirit. And then he went ahead and divided this passage into three sections. So verse 9 says, I took you from the end of the earth, from its farthest corner. I called you. I said, you are my servant. I have chosen you and have not rejected you. He calls this verse a divine providence. A divine providence. He says, God chose all of us by grace, not based on our performance, our social status, the color of our skin, our country of origin, but because of his mercy. And Spurgeon called this section a divine providence. Amen. We were chosen by God, not based on our performance, not based of where we come from. I don't know what the end of the earth is for you, but while I was in Kenya, if someone asked me that question, what is the end of the earth for you? I'll look at him in the eyes and say, Goma, Eastern DRC. That's my end of the earth. Yeah, so I don't know. There are so many people from many different countries in this house, and maybe that's the end of the earth for you. And God says, I took you from the end of the earth. From its farthest corner, I called you. I said, you are my servant. I have chosen you and have not rejected you. The end of the earth can also mean from a state of spiritual death, if we make an analogy to the message of the gospel. Amen? So no matter who we are and where we come from, this divine providence was offered to us. Amen? Amen. So verse 10, Spurgeon went ahead and divided verse 10 into, again, two sections. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. Spurgeon called this a divine command. This is a command that God is giving us. He's saying, do not fear. In other words, he's saying, I know your situation. I know the news that are going on the radio. I know what the TV is saying. I know the context of the DRC. I know all of that, but do not fear. Do not fear. I know your struggle. It could be a situation maybe in your family. It could be a prayer. You've been praying for so long and you are not finding the answer. Maybe last year ended with a problem, an unsolved problem. And God is saying, do not fear, because I know all of that. In other words, he's saying, he's reminding us of what D.L. Moody explained this way. He said, fear is to have more faith in the antagonist than in Christ. Fear is to have more faith in the antagonist than in Christ. Or in other words, when Psalms 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. So when God gives us this command, he's telling us, remember who is in charge. Remember who is in charge. I am in charge. Be still and know that I am God. And then verse 10b, God goes ahead and gives us the very reason why we should not fear. He said, for I am with you. I am your God. I will strengthen you, help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Spurgeon goes ahead and calls this a divine comfort. A divine comfort. God goes ahead and gives us the very reason why we should not fear. The very reason why we should not listen to the voice of the antagonist and put more faith in him. Amen. So when we look at the situation of our country since 1997 up to now, sometimes we wonder, has God forsaken us? Has God forsaken this country? It could be maybe something that is happening in your life and you might be wondering, is God still real? Is this God that I'm serving, is this God that I'm praying real? Is he hearing my prayers? What God is reminding us today is that he is with us. Okay, he's assuring us of his presence, because one of the things that I came to understand when I was reading the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is that sometimes God does not save us from the furnace. Okay, but not because he can't, but because he gets more glory by saving us in the furnace. Amen? Let me repeat that again. That sometimes God does not save us from the furnace, not because he can't, but because he gets more glory by saving us in the furnace. Amen? And we can look at so many stories in the Bible about this God who has been with his people through hard time. Look at the story of Joseph when he was in prison. The Bible says that even there, the Lord was with him and showed him favor. Amen? So God is with us, even in the midst of all the bad news, of all the struggle that we may go through, even in our Christian walk, he is with us. And he's giving us, in this world this morning, this divine comfort. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. So all we need is to shift our focus from the theme song that this world is playing to us and start playing constantly, consistently, this word in our ears, reminding ourselves of the promises that our God gives us in his word, because he is a promise keeper. Amen. There's nothing that he says, there's no word that come out of his mouth that will go back to him empty, without accomplishing the purpose for which it has been sent. Amen. So I'm going to end with this. I'm going to end by saying that we should stop listening to the theme song that the world is playing around us and start focusing on this God, fixing our eyes on him, longing for more of him in our lives, reading his word, taking this word as a sword in our hand, all right? Moving it from our shelves and starting to open it and let God speak into our lives, because this is God speaking. It's not only an old book written 1,000 years ago, but the word of God that is relevant for all our situations, even today. Amen. I'm going to ask us to rise up so that we can pray and ask God to help us to apply this word in our lives and to have more faith in his promises rather than in all the bad news that we hear around us, than in, you know, the situation and the lie that the devil can bring to us. Amen. Let's take some time and pray. Blessed Savior, I surrender. I surrender. I surrender. I surrender. Father God, we thank you for your word, and we thank you because, Lord, your speaking is your doing. We thank you for all the promises that we find in this word, O God. We thank you for Jesus who shed his blood, O God, to bring us back to you. And we thank you, Lord, we are among the people who can come to you and cry out, Abba, Father, and you hear from heaven, O God. And so, Father, we thank you for this word that you have given to us this morning. And we pray that, Lord, you may just help us, O God, to apply this word each and every day in every situation that we find ourselves in, O God, throughout the week. We pray that, Lord, you may continue to be our comfort, our guide, our God, O God. Thank you, Lord, because you are more than enough to us, and you guide us all the way through, O God. Our prayer is that, oh Lord, we may continue to press on. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you.